I'm Cecilia Waddell. I'm a staff writer for the Quad, and I'm a junior at BU, and I'm currently speaking to my father on Skype. He will be here Friday before the marathon this year to run the marathon. My father's name is Jim Waddell, and he ran the marathon last year. Dad, you want to say hi?
Hello.
Hello. So my dad was here to run the marathon last year, and I was waiting for him at the finish line. Dad, do you want to just kind of tell how the marathon day played out for you?
The marathon day until the explosions had played out really well. Actually, it was a perfect day. Weather was nice. I was with a bunch of friends at the end of the marathon. We had had a good run. We had a couple of us had very good times, so we were kind of celebrating, and I think it was Obon Pain. Obon Pain.
Yeah.
We were there celebrating, or just waiting, gathering around for all of our group, mostly people from El Paso, to come together. There was a couple who hadn't shown up, but they were slower, and we thought, oh, they might be finishing later anyway, so we weren't too worried. And we were in the patio area when we heard the explosions, but we didn't think it was what it turned out to be. We thought it was a military salute somehow, even though that didn't make sense. But I do remember looking out across the street at an office building and looking up in the second, third floor, and seeing all the office workers running to the corner of the building to look out. They didn't look happy. They didn't look to be celebrating. They looked worried and concerned. And then before I knew it, we saw police running by. We saw emergency personnel running by. And then we knew this was serious. It wasn't good.
Right. So we were sitting about two blocks from the actual finish line, like past the finish line when the runners are coming through and they're slowing down and getting all their food and water and stuff afterward. I was studying for a math midterm I had the next day. We were all just sitting outside. It was a really nice day. And like you said, there are just two loud sounds, really, that after the first one, we kind of looked around, but there didn't seem to be much reaction around us. And then that's probably just because nobody could really see that far, like the two blocks that it was actually happening at. And then after the second one, that's when the people started running by and yelling, like, get in the building and stuff.
Yeah. Excuse us, watch out, we're in a hurry.
Right.
And even then, I think we thought, even though we thought it could be really bad for people, we didn't think it was something intentional. It was only when we got back to the hotel, well, it wasn't a hotel, we rented a condominium, not even a half mile away from the finish line. We got there and put on the TV. Well, then we totally understood what was going on because we, CNN and everybody else and the local TV news were talking about these explosions that seemed to be set on purpose. And I don't think we realized really what had gone on until later when we saw the pictures.
Yeah, for the next like 3 to 5 hours afterward, we were in that condo, probably like 10 people just sitting around getting phone calls, you know. Me as a BU student, friends are texting, calling, reaching out to each other, saying, like, were you at the finish? I wasn't. Were you? Oh, I was, but I'm fine. You were getting tons of calls from our local news stations. I'm from Texas, by the way, so my dad's semi-known in our town for his running.
Well, and also because I used to work at the newspaper there, and I was now working at the newspaper in Albuquerque, so I was getting actually calls from both Albuquerque and El Paso asking if I could, if we knew where everybody was. So we had like a little operation going on trying to contact all the people who were with our group to make sure they were okay. And then it got so crazy, all the different calls, I finally told them all, I'm going to set up a Twitter feed, follow my Twitter feed, and whenever I find out a name about somebody being okay, I'll just tweet it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it worked a lot better. But,
yeah, I remember the phone lines were really tied up anyway, and I was thinking, you know, as long as somebody knows that you're okay, it'll get out. I don't want to be tying up the phone lines any more than, you know, BPD needs them or whatever.
Yeah, it was really, I think, though, the bigger picture is, you know, like, afterwards we went out and got something to eat, but everything was closed. We finally found a pizza place, but it felt sort of surreal. Should we be eating pizza right now? But then it's like, well, I guess we need to.
Right.
We still need to eat, but then you heard sirens, and there was this eerie feeling around the city that something obviously something was wrong.
Yeah. So we went to eat. We went to this pizza place on the south end. And then my ex-boyfriend and I were walking, going back to BU. And we just grabbed a taxi because, you know, we're not going to take the T. It felt really unsafe already. But the only way to get back was some form of transportation because we weren't going to walk either. So we took a taxi. But I remember how awful that taxi ride was. The taxi driver pulled over and almost screamed at us, get in the car right now. Don't you know what's going on? And we said, no, like, we don't know what's going on. We're just trying to get home. And, like, I didn't want to get in the car with him, you know? And but what else, what was our choice, really? We just had to trust that we were going to get home somehow. And, I mean, he was just scared. He was as scared as we were, but...
Right, he was panicky, too.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was a whole sad situation. And, well, then you guys went through that whole week. You know, we got on a flight the next morning when we were out, mm-hmm. out there. Except for the American Airlines computer system broke down. That's another story.
Yeah. What was that like for you coming back, though? Like, going back to this place where these people had heard that, you know, thousands of miles away something had happened and you had been there.
Yeah, actually, when I got back the next day, Albuquerque wanted to do something. And so it was actually kind of touching. They did an impromptu run. So, you know, a lot of runners and probably even a lot of people who really weren't runners. When it was a running store, it just said, oh, you know, we think it'd be appropriate. Let's all come together, and if we'll take a few donations, too, and we can donate it to the Boston One Fund or something.
Yeah.
And come on by. And I think they thought, you know, they'd get 50 people, and it was like 1,000.
That's and, awesome. Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, all of a sudden people are asking me all sorts of things. And, you know, it was funny, too, because your mom bought me a Boston Marathon jacket, and I kind of said before, you know, don't buy me any more Boston jackets. I got enough Boston Marathon jackets. All of a sudden, that felt like, it's like, it was very different wearing that jacket somehow, but sort
right.
of that more than just running the marathon. And maybe it was a good thing. I don't know. But I remember wearing that jacket way more because of it.
So you're running it this year. Was that a very conscious decision, or did it feel just like you knew you were going to anyway?
I kind of committed right after. I don't know if you remember, I committed right after the last marathon. I thought, well, now I've got to do it. I question whether that's that's an accurate statement or not, but it felt more important to be here and say it's okay. I guess 36,000 other people said the same thing. It was mm-hmm. going to be quite a few people, and I believe it goes through the same finish area of the marathon, so kind of...
What number, how many Boston Marathons have you run at this point?
So, 7, 2008. I've run 4. This will be the number 5.
It will be different. It'll definitely be different.
Yeah, it'll be different. It'll be the same, too. It'll be different at times. It'll be the same still. It's a 26-mile run. I mean, uh-huh. Can't forget about that. And in some ways, many ways, I'm treating it as a 26-mile run. But it's a... Not just because you go to Boston, but now that I've done these Boston marathons, Boston's kind of become maybe not a second home, but a part of my life. And it probably doesn't hurt to my father, who grew up not too far away from there in Providence. And so somehow I've taken a liking to Boston. So it has a deeper meaning because of that. The people, the place. I know the city pretty well now. I know all the different little parts of the course. Will it mean more? Yeah, it probably will. You know, I've wondered about that. I'm sure there'll be moments of silence at the start, at the finish. You know, as we all finish, we'll be looking to the left because we'll know what happened there last year. But something has to happen. We have to move on.
I was talking with some friends about like the Boston Marathon this year, and they're saying I'm worried that it's either going to be not reflective enough or so reflective that we can't move on. But I just have this idea that no matter what it is, it's going to be right. Like. It's going to have that balance of people yelling for people coming over a finish line and also people respecting and, you know, remembering the lives that were lost last year. But I think it's just going to be right.
Yeah. That's what I think. I think that there'll be respect for what happened, but there'll also be, it's a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
It's the grandfather of all marathons, and people are still excited about Boston because it's the oldest one in the United States and, well, maybe the world. continuously run. I don't know. It's right up there. Put it that way.